the topic that I picked for this week is the word lives. And I was looking at some records in Jeremiah and got to thinking about the importance of God's word in our lives. And Jeremiah 25 is where we'll start. Very interesting. Again, you could pick a lot of sections of Jeremiah and read similar truths, but I was reading this and it struck me a little bit. Jeremiah 25, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The which Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, this is the 23rd year the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. Look at those numbers carefully. From the 13th year to the 23rd year, the 23rd year. Jeremiah spoke God's word for 10 years to these people, and they did not listen to him for 10 years. I was reading that, I go, my goodness, 10 years the man spoke God's word to these people, and they did not listen to him. What does it take for a person to stand in a situation where no one listens to you? I know a lot of us have had that come our way sometime when you speak the word and people just don't listen. And here's Jeremiah. 10 years he spoke the word of God. Nobody listened to him. Verse 4, and the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ears to hear. They said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. You know, a lot of people would speak, and you know, maybe they go somewhere and they try to speak in the word for a day, a few days, a couple of weeks, maybe a few months, maybe a year. You know, I had enough of this. Try 10 years where he faithfully spoke the word to these people and they hearkened not. Yet he faithfully kept speaking the word, because the point is the reaction of people doesn't change the word of God. You might think it does, but it doesn't. The reaction of people isn't significant. I mean, you know, you're sure you want people to believe, but the word is the word. It stands. The word lives whether anybody ever believes it. You know, and it's interesting that Jeremiah, a man like Jeremiah, and if you read the entire book of Jeremiah, it's very prevalent in his life. Regardless of what went on, he stood. He stood. He didn't always want to, but he stood and spoke the word. Look at Jeremiah 20. Well, what was it that allowed him to do this? Jeremiah 20. You know, what exactly does the word mean to you? How serious is the word of God to your heart? What is, when you think of the word of God, what comes to your mind in terms of how important it is to you? In Jeremiah 20, verse 1, now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. And if you go back, you'll see he was prophesying similar to what we just read in 25. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. So for speaking the truth, Jeremiah was stuck in the stocks. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magar-Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And you see, time and time again, Jeremiah prophesied that they would be taken captive to Babylon. And in fact, one place he tells them, you're going to stay there for 70 years. And yet, time and time again, the king's, that's not going to happen to us. Some other prophet would come along and say, well, no, after 2 years, we're going to come back again. And just time and time again, everything he said, people were coming against it, throwing him in jail, putting him in the mire and dungeons and all this thing. And he was just speaking what God told him to speak, the truth of God's word. Where were we now? Verse 6. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. You know, this kind of treatment to him, he's got to have some kind of footing in his life, some kind of place where he went to for strength. And here he tells you in verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, and I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Every day, the word of the Lord, he said, was a reproach to him. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I've had it. I'm not going to do this. But his word, see, he wanted to do that, but the word meant more to him. The word to him personally meant something. It was something serious in his life. It wasn't just something he did on Sundays. It wasn't just something he did every once in a while. The word was something that meant to him, something on a daily basis. I wanted to stop, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I wanted to stay. I didn't want to talk about it anymore. I had it, but I couldn't. It was too important to him. What the word of God was too strong in his heart. It was too strong. He had to speak the word of God, despite the response and what was happening to all those that were around him. The word lives. You know, and you and I can decide whether we want the word to live in our heart, regardless of what happens to us and those people we speak to. If we allow the people we speak to and the people that, you know, daily get a chance to meet to dictate what we think about God's word, we have lost. You know, Jeremiah, 10 years he had spoken. And there's, you know, that's more than the 10. That's just one example. The entire book is full of him speaking and no one listening. Verse 10, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Reports, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. People looking to him to get back at him. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. See, it's not just the word, it's God who is behind that word. When we say the word, what are we talking about really? We're talking about God, aren't we? You know, the book without God is useless. The Bible without God is useless. So when he says the word is, what is he talking about? God was always with him. The Lord is with me. And therefore my persecutors, verse 11, shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. You see this back and forth. You know, he was fed up of living. He said, I wish I'd never even been born. That's how challenging it was in the same context as him saying, the word was so strong in my heart, I had to speak it. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Verse 15, cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him cry the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. What? My goodness, this is Jeremiah. And even in the midst of all that, he says the word and the God behind that word sustained him. It was something that without a daily understanding of who God was, and God had told him, right at the beginning when he first called him to be a prophet, he said, everybody is going to be against you, but don't you worry, I'll be on your side. I'm going to make you a defense city. You're going to be a city. You yourself, no one's going to be able to touch you. And that's when God first called Jeremiah. So day by day by day, he had to believe the word of God. And every day was something that was in his heart. And he took it seriously, regardless of what those around him said to him and how they reacted to him. In Jeremiah 26. Verse 8. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Has anybody ever told you that when you speak the word? You're dead. We're throwing you in jail. You're dead. Doesn't happen to me. People might have called me names. They have. People call you names and things. But here, he says, because of what you just spoke, which, by the way, was the truth, you're going to die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Everybody was against him. Verse 20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. So this is another prophet who was saying the same thing that Jeremiah was saying. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt, and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword, and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. For what? For speaking the truth. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam the son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. So, all around him was death and destruction towards the word of God, and yet Jeremiah continued to persevere and continued to speak the word day after day after day, despite the reaction of the people around him. In Isaiah 55, let's go back a book to Isaiah 55. The word of God lives. Thankfully, it has nothing to do with the reaction of people. You remember the book of Acts? What they tell them? Don't speak anymore in this name. Don't do it. They threw them in jail and they beat them with stripes. Yet they continued to speak his word. They said, we're not going to listen to God, man. We're going to listen to God. Whether we should listen to man or God, you decide. But we're going to obey what God says, which was to speak his word. The fact that they told them not to speak the word, did that mean that Jesus Christ was no longer going to come back? Later in Jeremiah 36, remember Jehoiakim, he cuts the scroll with a penknife and throws it in the fire, the hearth, burns the word. Does him burning the word of God or cutting it with a penknife stop God from existing, or does it stop the word of God from actually being true? No. The word lives. The word lives despite man. The word lives. God ensures and watches over his word. It lives. In Isaiah 55, Ho, Let everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And, you know, remember, I think some of us did some of the Orientalism classes in here. This is talking about, what does it mean to buy without milk and without price? Well, there were times in the way in the East where, you know, somebody who wanted to bless people, was rather wealthy, would go ahead and buy a bunch of goods at the market and then tell the vendors, go ahead and sell without price and without money. You know, it wasn't that the items weren't paid for, it was somebody else had paid for them, and then the other people would benefit from having gotten those items. It's akin to Jesus Christ having given his life for you and me. He paid for it, but now we get it without money and without price. Verse 2, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul itself delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, it is God's good pleasure to make his word known. It's not something man decided to do. And God says here, you know, you ever notice, and you know, this is a good time to be thinking about, you look outside, and you know, I look at a tree out the window here, and we say, oh, that tree's dead. Next day, it's got buds, and there's leaves within a day. Seems to be when spring comes around, everything just bursts into life. Things just grow where you know, didn't see something the night before. And here God says, just like that rain comes down from heaven and the snow and waters it and all these things burst forth, so shall my word be as it comes from my mouth. He said, it will accomplish the thing that I want it to accomplish. You see, God is behind his word. We told Jeremiah, you speak. Don't worry, Jeremiah. I'll be there with you. So, but for those 10 years when Jeremiah spoke and no one listened to him, was God there with him? Absolutely. God was still there. You see, the response of those people at that time wasn't the guiding factor. The point was God told him to speak the word. God has told us to speak his word. God is behind his word. It will do what God wants it to do. God is not limited to the believing of people out there that don't, you know, whether hear or don't hear. His word works. Is Jesus Christ coming back? Do you or I have anything to say about that? No, he's coming back. His word will live. It lives and continues to live despite what man thinks. So God says, it'll live. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God's word lives. Hebrews chapter 1. And it's up to me and you to decide, do I want to be a part of it? You know, regardless of what you or I might do or might not do, God's word lives. It will live. It will continue to live. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. Jesus Christ now was the living word. God's word lives. Jesus Christ was the living word. And what did they do to the living word? They crucified him. They had him killed. And I know we know that he laid down his life. So they thought they had orchestrated his death. But in reality, Jesus Christ, it says, laid down his life for our sakes. But they orchestrated his death and his destruction of him. You know, it reminds me of that parable. Remember Jesus Christ told that parable to those guys about he had these men take care of a vineyard. And then he had sent his servants to get the fruits, and the servants came. They got rid of the servants, and then he said, "You know, I'm going to send my son. Sure, they're going to reverence him." Well, they killed his son. They didn't reverence him. You know, did that get the vineyard for those guys? Did it accomplish any purpose they had wanted? No, absolutely not. In fact, that guy would go and destroy those miserable people. You see, people think they can destroy the world, the word, by destroying those who speak it. They think they can destroy the word by cutting it up. They think they can destroy it by putting in fires. They think they can destroy it by not believing it. And all these, and there's a long line of things, but the word lives. They thought they had killed the word when they killed Jesus Christ, who was the living word. But what happened? God raised him from the dead. Did it accomplish the purpose that God wanted? Absolutely. He sent his living word and it accomplished the purpose that he wanted, which was to raise him from the dead so we could now have eternal life and be with him forever. So it accomplished the purpose that he wanted. It says there in 1 Corinthians 2, it says that if they had known what was going to come afterwards, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they didn't know. And so they crucified him, and then all the chain of events that now goes down, the mystery and all the things that are the grace to be shown to us in ages to come, and the authority structures and all that's set up in Jesus Christ, and all these things that are as part of the mystery are now going to proceed. No one could stop it. Them killing Jesus Christ couldn't stop it. The Word of God lived. You know, sometimes I wonder, do we understand just how important a movement that we are part of? We happen to be living, I think, in one of the finest administrations ever, you know. And to think that God would allow us to have a part in this is sometimes very overwhelming. You know, certainly Jeremiah, living in an administration where he didn't have the redemption of Jesus Christ available and all that Jesus Christ had accomplished, yet he was able to stand day after day after day when no one would listen to him. Here we are in grace. You know, wonderful grace, the blessings all around, all spiritual blessings. You know, Acts 24, please. Acts chapter 24. The Word of God lives. And now we decide whether we want to be a part of that or not. Acts chapter 24, verse 10. This is Paul before Felix. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went unto Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Now Paul tells him, listen, you may call it heresy, but you know what? That's it. If they call it heresy, that's the way I worship God. They may call it heresy, but he says, I am looking forward to the resurrection of the just and the unjust. This is, you know, everything that we do here, everything Jeremiah did, You know, and we can look at the records where it talks about they knew of the coming of Jesus Christ. And one of those records we read, he was talking about the coming of Christ. They knew about the coming of Jesus Christ. They knew that someday a Messiah would come. That is what eventually, in the end, sustained them, because the Word will come to pass. The Word will continue to live. And there will be a day. Here, Paul's telling him, and this is near the end of his, you know, end of his journeys, he's saying, look, I've worshipped God. They've called it heresy. But I've had my eyes on the resurrection of the just and the unjust, what's coming in the future. Verse 15, 16. And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and ought if object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, am I called in question by you this day? And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. You know, Paul, like Jeremiah in his life, everywhere that Paul turned, there was somebody trying to destroy his life. And you can read those sections in Corinthians and Acts where people, you know, was many times stoned, destroyed, you know, beaten, whipped, and all those things. Like Jeremiah. Yet he continued to speak. And he goes, to the end of his life, he goes, look, they call it heresy. They've done this to me. I just continue to keep preaching to small and great. I keep teaching about the coming resurrection. I keep teaching about the resurrection of Christ and the coming resurrections. You know, and in Timothy, it says that all they in Asia had turned away from Paul at the end of his life. All they in Asia turned away. He praised a few men who came to see him when he was in prison because they weren't ashamed of his chains. But, you know, would that be counted as a successful conclusion to a man's life when everybody who believed you has turned away from you? Not as far as the world is concerned. Yet what was God's record in his life? You know, he says, I have kept the right way of believing, and you know, the Lord Jesus Christ will reward me. Verse 24, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Paul, he wanted to hear about his faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Look what Paul's right. He says, as he reasoned of righteousness. What's righteousness? In the Old Testament, it was their righteousness to keep the Word of God, to obey God's Word. In the New Testament, it was the righteousness we have received because of what Jesus Christ done for us. We're holy, without blame, before Him in love. You know, not to be conscious of our sins anymore. And like we're to live a life of peace and joy without worrying about sinfulness. And here he tells them, Felix, he talks to him about righteousness, all that Jesus Christ has come. He talks about temperance, where he says, you know, self-control is better than self-indulgence. And if you look around you now, maybe back in the Roman times too, self-indulgence was everywhere. But self-control, to believe and to live your life according to the Word that you know. So he tells them, Jesus Christ has done this for me, and I live my life according to the Word that I now know. That's temperance. And judgment to come someday, whether you believe this or not, Felix and company, Jesus Christ is coming back, and there is going to be a judgment, whether you like it or not. And Felix trembled. See, what was he was just telling him how he lived his life. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not conscious of my sins anymore. I try to control my life to live according to God's Word. And someday Jesus Christ is coming back and there's going to be a judgment. This is your life. This is not something we do one day a week or 2 days. This is every single day of your life. The Word lives, and we decide whether we allow that Word to live in our life and the things we talk about, the things we get excited about. We decide what those are based on what is living in our heart. And here Paul, you know, near the end of his life, well, you know, I've been beaten, whipped, killed, every which way possible. But I keep teaching. I keep making the Word of God known. Just like Jeremiah, year after year, day after day, kept speaking the word of God despite the reaction of people around him. We'll close back in Jeremiah. We started in Jeremiah. Let's go back to Jeremiah. We'll close there. Jeremiah 15. The world will try and kill the word in your life any way it possibly can. And we have to decide to let the word of God live in our lives. We should, you know, when we go to God's word, when we read the word of God, when we think about it, we should let the words enter our mind, enter our heart, meditate in that word, speak it to one another, speak it to those who haven't heard, study it, think about it, live it, change our lives according to it, reverence the author of it, and put all our hope on what it says about things to come. We get all that from his wonderful word. This is not something that we should ever take lightly. The word of God is our contact point with the Creator. Because without God, the Bible is useless. The word of God is our contact point with God. God, that's what Jeremiah saw. That's what Paul knew. That's what, you know, people who have walked with God for the last thousands of years knew. It was the God who took care of them, watched over them, blessed them. And the word of God was living and real to them. In Jeremiah 15, verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake have I suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. And thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. He goes, you stick with me. Don't you ever go with them. Don't you ever follow those who would try to destroy my good name or the word that I have given to you. You return to me. Don't you go with them. Verse 20, and I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, make you a brazen wall. They're not going to be able to come near you. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. You see, God's constant encouragement to Jeremiah to stand. Don't let what's going on around you, the pressures of life, the things people may say, how families may react, how the government might do this or not do that or do whatever. Don't follow them. He said, stick with me. I back up my word. You know, it will accomplish the purpose unto what I decide it's going to do. You just be faithful to speak my word. Speak my word. Stay and let the word of God live in your life. Recognize all that I've done for you, and today it's all that he's done in Jesus Christ. Recognize and live your life according to that word, and recognize someday there's a judgment coming, and you know, we're going to deal with all this that's happened. So the word of God lives, and it's up to us to decide whether we're going to let the word of God live day by day in our own lives. Amen.